That makes me sweat, you know, like, I don't know, it feels like 100 degrees in here right now. I don't know why it feels that way. Hey, good morning, everybody. My name's Clayton, and I'm the lead pastor here. I'm glad you guys are with us. And speaking of being 100 degrees, man, I'm done with it. I'm just done. I'm done with the heat. I miss the storm season, you know, where you don't know what's going to happen. You're just rolling the dice every afternoon, you know? Like, those are the good old days. I love watching, like, those storm-chasing videos. I love watching storm-chasing videos. Those guys are crazy. The tornado drops down. Those storm chasers are just driving through mud, and they're trying to get that shot. I mean, those people are insane. And you're watching that, and then like, Travis Meyer, our meteorologist, comes on, and he's got the radar behind him, and he's talking about where the storm tracker and which way it's going. They always use the cone, you know? Well, it's this way, right? The cone's coming this way, and it's like, it's going towards, where is it going? And then it's all fun and games until your neighborhood is in the path. It's in the cone, you know? You're like, man, I'm the guy that's outside looking at the swirling around. Like, this is kind of cool because I'm from Texas and I'm weird. And so you're watching it, and it's all good until he says, your street. And he says, shelter immediately. And you're like, we don't have a shelter. Where are we going to go? And you're trying to figure out, are we going in the closet or in the bathtub? And I mean, it's all fun until the storm is coming right at you. And when you are in a storm, it gets real, real fast, doesn't it? Things change. All of a sudden, your priorities change. Things shift. Well, today, this is what we're going to be talking about. In fact, we're in the middle of this series called Highlight Reel, talking about real things in this life. And today, we're going to look at one of Jesus's parables. And in this parable, he talks about this real storm that's not just coming for a select few of us. It's coming for every single one of us. In Matthew chapter 5 to 7, it's the Jesus preaches the Sermon on the Mount, which is the greatest sermon in the history of mankind. It is incredible. In my office, I have all these large commentary sets, and it's almost like every single book of the Bible has their own commentary. And some of the books of the Bible are so small that they'll combine some of them together into one volume. And yet, in both of my or several of my commentary sets, the Sermon on the Mount has its own book, okay? It's so important that this three-chapter portion of Scripture has its own commentary, which is crazy. It is one of the greatest parts of Scripture. And Jesus gives this amazing sermon, and every great sermon at the end gives the hearers a moment to make a decision. And this is what Jesus does. And so Jesus, he's wrapping up his sermon. He's gone through chapter 5, chapter 6, and then towards the end of chapter 7. And he says that some of you guys, you are going to die one day. You're going to stand before God, and you're going to say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all these great things in your name? And Jesus says, I'm going to say to you, I don't know you. You're not getting in. Just kind of scary. And then he gives this parable to describe it, and he starts it off by saying, therefore. So it's connected to what he had just taught about, and this is how he ends the greatest sermon ever, by giving this example through a parable. So let's look at it. Here's what he says. It says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them, so someone who hears and then acts, okay, will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the rivers rose, and the winds blew and pounded that house. Yet it didn't collapse because its foundation was on the rock. Now, most of us, we know this story, you know? We grew up in church, and man, if you did VBS as a kid, you know this story. It's because of the song. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And the... Okay, nice. Man, first service, they didn't do very well. I was up here by myself. It was rough, guys. It was rough. And this one's recorded, so I appreciate the help on that one. So we know this story, and we know kind of what's going on. Well, it's not just about this guy who built his house on the rock. It's also about this other guy. And look what happens in the next two verses. Jesus goes on and says, but everyone who hears, so they hear again, who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the rivers rose, the winds blew and pounded that house, and it collapsed. It collapsed with a great crash. Mic drop, sermon's over, okay? This is how Jesus ends the greatest sermon ever. What an ending to that sermon. And what he's trying to say is that everybody who has heard this, thousands of people were hearing this, and we are hearing it today. And what he's saying is that, look, you have just heard me, so now what? What are you going to do with that? Now, it's important to realize Jesus isn't comparing a believer with an unbeliever. He's comparing two people who have actually both heard. So being here or listening online right now means you're a part of this group, okay? You're one of these two people. You've heard the gospel. You've heard the good news that you are a sinner, that no amount of good works will get you into heaven because the Bible says that no one is righteous, not a single one of you terrible people, okay? Me included, okay? None of us are good enough. And so God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to come to this earth to live a perfect life so he could be a perfect, spotless sacrifice to die in your place up on the cross. And he shed his blood to pay the penalty for your sins. But then he didn't stay in the grave. He rose from the grave, proving that he is God himself. And he says this, all you have to do is believe. Repent, turn to me and believe. Have faith in me and you will be saved. That is the gospel. That's the good news. And that's what people hear. And Jesus says, what are you going to do about it? And the reason is because there's something really important. A storm is coming. A storm is coming. It's not an if the storm is coming. It is when the storm comes. And both of these houses in this story, they get hit. They get hit by the same wind, the same rain, the same flood. And in our lives, there's going to be some storms. Some of you guys have gone through storms already. I know your stories. Some of you guys are going to go through some terrible storms in this life. There's going to be loss that's going to be devastating. There's going to be breakups and rejection. There's going to be financial collapse that just rocks your world. Your child is going to run and you're going to question everything. The future that you had planned is going to disappear. The health that you've been thinking that's going to make your life a long, beautiful, amazing life, all of a sudden, it is going to fail you. And you're going to get that phone call in the middle of the night, and your stomach is just going to be turned upside down. You're going to go through some storms. But Jesus isn't talking really about those storms. What he is talking about is a bigger storm. What he's talking about is judgment. Now, that sounds terrible, this idea of judgment, but the Bible is very clear about judgment, that all of us are going to face judgment someday. Hebrews 9 says each person is destined to die. Do you know that? Sorry, bummer. It's a rough sermon, okay? Each person is destined to die. Amen, let's pray. No, and after that comes judgment. When you die, there is something after that. You're going to stand before a holy God. And here's what it says. We must all stand before Christ to be judged, and we will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body. Now, this phrase makes it seem like there's a chance that your good could outweigh your bad, but I'm just telling you, it's not going to, okay? I want you to think about the very first sin that you ever committed. Can you remember that? Well, you're probably not, but the one that kind of got you. You're like, man, I'm a little kid, and I realize that I'm not perfect. Like, I've done something wrong. You know that moment that when you sin right then, you became just as guilty as the worst person that's ever lived. The Bible says no one is righteous, not a single person. And so it says this like as if you could outweigh your bad, but the truth is you're going to stand before a holy God, and what are you going to do with your life? What are you going to account for with your life? This storm is going to come. This is what it's talking about, this judgment. I'm just telling you, we're all in bad shape, okay? We can't stand on any of our good things. This big storm is coming, and it's terrifying. And that storm is going to do one thing to us all. It is going to reveal what you're building your life on. Not if you have good things or bad things. It's going to reveal what you're building your life on. These two men, they had a lot in common. They were both building up their lives. And it uses illustration as these homes, okay? And so here's a good visual for us. We're visual people. So here's this story up on the screen, okay? You have these two people living their life. They have identical homes. You cannot tell them apart. And so in this story, both of these guys, they hear Jesus, okay? They hear the good news, and they begin to build their lives on something. They begin to build their life with their family. They begin to build up their career and their wealth and all the things that we're supposed to do in this life. And then Jesus says this, when you least expect it, the storm's gonna come, okay? All of a sudden, life seems great, and then this massive storm is going to come into your life, and it is the moment you breathe your last and you stand before a holy God. And both of these people in this story, they experience the storm, and yet their homes look the same. We don't know what's underneath. I think the same goes for our spiritual house. We can come to church every Sunday and have perfect attendance. We can know the Bible. We can give. We can worship. We can serve. We can raise Christian kids and even call Jesus Lord and yet be far from him. That is Jesus's warning, and that should scare every single one of us. That all those good things, that house that you're building, man, it is not enough. What he's talking about is that some of us, we will try to build up a religious life. We'll try to build it high, 2 stories, 5 stories, 10 stories. Look at me. Look at all the good things that I have done. And yet it has no foundation. I call it RV Christianity. You know what I'm talking about? So you've been to like an RV park and you people roll in and you got the people got the bumper pool and like, that's kind of nice. And someone shows up with the fifth wheel and their truck is like more expensive than their fifth wheel, you know, to haul the thing. And that's good justification, man, to get a big truck is I got to get a fifth wheel, babe. So it's terrible. So like you see all these people, they roll in and then, but man, the ones who have that giant motorhome and they start rolling in, they got to have a police escort to get into the place. I mean, big time, they show up. Man, it's amazing to look at these different things. But look, when the storm hits the RV park, it doesn't matter what you're in, right? Because all of them are on wheels, okay? It's going to go bad for every single person. Here's the question. Have you been building an impressive life on wheels? Here's the point. The foundation of your life matters. And honestly, having a bigger house, a more religious house, it doesn't compensate for a bad foundation. In fact, Jesus says, the bigger the house, the bigger the fall, the bigger the crash. And yet our world is always asking us, our culture is always constantly asking, what kind of life, what kind of house are you building? Jesus doesn't ask that. He asks, what are you building your house on? What are you building your life on? You see, it's actually a relationship question. So Jesus is teaching Matthew 5, Matthew 6, Matthew 7. He's teaching all of these how to live your life for God. And then he says, so what about you and me? What's that relationship look like? In 1 Corinthians, here's what the Bible says, for no one can lay any foundation other than what has been laid down. And that foundation is Jesus Christ. Now, another way, what he's trying to say, what the Bible's trying to say here is that there's only one foundation that's worth anything. You can pretend that you're building this foundation. You can pretend that you have this amazing house, this amazing even religious life. But look, there's only one foundation that means anything. So here's the question. How do you know if you have it? That's the tough question. It's the million-dollar question. How do you know if you have the right foundation? And how do you get it? Well, the answer is, you go back to this parable. In fact, let me go back to just verse 24. It says this, it says, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And so this rock is Jesus. and him alone. The one who hears Jesus and the one who acts. Now, the acting, there's some things going on here. In fact, there's three steps to all of this. The first one is hearing. And the second one is built out of acts. It's to believe. So acting on what you hear, you have an option to choose him or not. And so you got to believe. Look, hearing gives you information, and then belief brings transformation in your life. When you trust in Christ and him alone, the Bible says you are saved. There's a transformation that happens, but it doesn't end there. God wants you to obey. There's obedience coming in the middle of this. And what obedience doesn't save you guys. It's just proof that you're saved. I hate to say that, but that's what he's talking about. You hear the good news. You have a choice to make. Are you going to believe in Jesus? And then, are you going to prove it through obedience? Look, both men heard the good news. One believed and acted on it, and the other one ignored it. Look, you and I, we can hear sermons all day long and still build our lives on sand. We can read our Bibles and still build our lives on sand. We can sing all the songs. You could be that one person in that row that everybody's like, ooh, you know, gonna sing a little too loud, you know, trying to harmonize, whatever. I hear some of you guys, I'm trying, it doesn't work. But you can be that kind of person that you know all the songs. Like, man, that's my jam, I'm singing this song. And yet you're still building your life on sand. You see, hearing Jesus is not the same as believing and having true obedience. And this is what I'm scared of. I'm scared that there's a lot of us, we're sitting here right now, and yet spiritually we're standing on sand. And so your life looks a little different. And it looks like you're trying to hold your life up, but the reality is it looks more like this, okay? It looks right, but eventually it's going to begin to topple over. And Jesus' warning is that your collapse will be great. You see, this foolish man was a great builder of his life. Man, all of us would look at him and say, I want his house. That is amazing. Look at that, this beautiful thing. I wish I had his life. That's not, the sad thing is not that he couldn't build. The tragic thing is that he built on a bad foundation. He was doomed from the start. And what happens is a lot of times we build our lives like that. We want everybody to see that it's amazing. And as it begins to lean, what we'll do is we will not lean on God. We'll lean on us, ourselves, to try to right the ship. And so what we do is we get a 2x4 out of the garage and we call it money. And we stick money underneath that, thinking the money is going to stop that lean. And money can hold you up until it's gone. At the end of your life, you can't take your money with you, right? Can't do it. And then some of us will lean on our health. We'll add that to it. And have these plans for our future and how we're going to live our lives. It sounds great until you get that diagnosis and everything changes. Some of us, we build our lives and we try to hold up with relationships. And we pour everything into relationships. If I can just have amazing relationships, my life will be perfect. And that's great until your relationships fracture. Some of us, this one kind of hits home for me. We try to hold ourselves up through achievement. If I can just be good enough, if I can be successful enough, then I'm building this amazing life and no one's gonna know what's really underneath. And that's great until that fractures and your reputation is ruined and no one remembers you anymore. Now, some of you guys are like, well, I'm glad the sermon's not about me, Clayton. Okay, I get it. Okay, I'm gonna get you right here, okay? For all the rest of y'all who are thinking, I know who some of y'all are thinking of that. Some of us, we try to hold up a sinking foundation through religion, through good things, through church attendance, through the things we're literally doing right now. Here's what the Bible says in Psalm 62, that he alone is my rock. Not my good things, not a life that I've been trying to live. I mean, we guys heard David's story, right? His baptism story, his life changed. If he had built his life on all these great things, and never realizing that his real salvation comes when he builds his life on Jesus and Jesus alone. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. And look, I will never be shaken. And let me tell you this, life is shaky. And at the end, it's like an earthquake and a tsunami and a tornado and a hurricane all coming onto your house at the exact same time. Like, you will not stand. When you breathe your last, all of your good things, all the things that you have accumulated in this life, all of it will be gone. And look, there's only one foundation that is strong enough to stand. That's why the Bible talks about how Jesus is unshakable and he's not changeable, okay? In fact, Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise God that he doesn't change. His nature doesn't change. Who he is doesn't change. The storm in your life doesn't sway him or change his mind. It doesn't catch him off guard. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What it's talking about is he is a foundational rock that if you stand your life on it, you're going to be okay at the end. So here's the thing. Today, do y'all believe the Holy Spirit's here? Okay. I believe the Holy Spirit is in this place. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm with them. Look, the Holy Spirit is here today. I think he's shown up to your house, your life. And he's got his clipboard, and he's got his flashlight, and he's here to inspect your foundation, okay? He wants to crawl underneath your house and see what your house is built upon. And if he were to crawl out from underneath your house, what kind of report would he give? Would the report look like this? He gives you this report and says, look, your house is built on sand. That's terrifying. That's sad. And so, look, I want you to help me finish this sermon. That's kind of scary, okay? But if I were to call one of you up here, let me see. I'm not going to do it, okay? Everybody's like, ooh. Everybody's like shrunk down a little bit. Okay, I'm not going to do that. But look, if I called you up here and I grabbed my Bible and I said, I want you to put your hand on this Bible and I want you to promise to tell the truth, the honest truth, how would you answer honestly? Not pretend. How would you answer this question? What's under your house? Look, I can't tell you what's under your house. Your spouse can't tell you. Your parents, your kids, the people who know you best, they can't tell what's underneath your house. Because foundations are hidden, guys. Only you know what you've been building your life on. Are there cracks all over the place? Are there cracks in your drywall? Where did that come from? Does that table not... Like, what happened to that one leg, right? Kind of wobbles a little bit. Are you patching up your life to make it seem like there's not a foundation problem you don't want anybody to know? Because you've been coming to church your whole life. You're building your life on sand. If you're like, man, Clayton, I'm not really sure. Well, there's also another simple test. I'm going to call it the simple foundation test. It reminds me of Job from the Old Testament. You guys know Job? Job, amazing, awesome life. Everybody won his life. All of a sudden, he gets tested and everything is taken away from him. That's a good test for us, to play that game in your mind and your heart. If everything was stripped away in your life, everything you own and have worked so hard for, imagine it was all gone. Imagine your success and everything that you find your identity in is gone. The people in your life that you give up everything for, they are gone. Your health fails you. All of the religious good things in your life, they are stripped away. Here's the question. What would remain? Is there still a foundation? And is Jesus that foundation? Is he all you need? If all that were to be gone, would you be still saying, Lord, I praise you? because you saved me? Is there a life of believing in him and obeying him that shows that your foundation truly is on him? You know what it is like when you go to like a party or a function and you see a lot of people that, you know, you've met before, and you start talking to them and you shake their hand and you quickly realize they don't know your name, right? What do they call you? Hey, chief. Hey, buddy. Hey, man. Good to see you, right? That doesn't feel good. What I'm scared of is that some of us will one day stand before Jesus when we breathe our last and we say, Jesus, look at all the amazing things I've done. Look at this amazing house that I have. And he's going to say, hey, chief, what's your name again? That's scary. Where's your foundation? Is it on him? Or is it on sand? My fear is that some of us will die and we'll discover that we never truly knew him. Look, a storm's coming. We're going to stand before a holy God when our time on earth is through. And the question is, are you ready for that? When the big one hits and you breathe your last, nothing on this, all the things you've done, all the things you've accumulated, none of that's going to matter. Your foundation is all that matters. And if it's on sand, here's the problem. It is too late to change. God gives you a shot in this life to choose him or to not choose him. Let me just say this. We've been talking about judgment, all the scary stuff and the storm that's coming. But here's the thing. God loves you. He's not just a God of justice. He's a God of love, equally together. He loves you. He loves you so much that God the Father sent God the Son to die for you. He loves you completely. He also loves you by allowing you to go through some little storms in your life. And what they are, they're kind of like little wake-up calls that test your foundation. It's like a check in your spirit, your heart, where you run from God or you cling to him even more. The storm's coming. It isn't a prediction. It's a promise from God. And look, it could come at any moment. Some of us think we got time. Man, I'm young, no big deal. I got the rest of my life to live, and then I'll decide on Jesus or not. But we're not promised the rest of today. We're not. Are you ready? Are you ready for that storm? God has given you an opportunity, a moment, a chance today to get right with him. So I invite you to bow your heads with me. We're going to pray. God, thank you for speaking to us this morning. And I just have a simple prayer. God, if there are people in this room who have never trusted in you, they've been doing a lot of religious stuff. They know everybody in the room. They know all the songs. They've even heard your truth, but have never put their faith and trust in you. And they know it. And they're scared to death right now because their life is built on sand. I pray, Lord, that you convict them right now. That they would come before you right now and God ask for forgiveness. Repent of that sin of trusting in their own righteousness. Instead, put all their hope in you. And God, that you would save them right now. And we could celebrate together a life that is now on a firm foundation. And we don't have to be scared of the storm anymore. Because of who Jesus is, our rock. The only one who can save us. You know, if you're in this room right now and your eyes are still closed and your head's bowed, I just want, is there anybody in this room who'd be brave enough to say that's me right now? Say, I'm ready. I've been coming to church, maybe not the first time or my 10,000th time, but it's time that I get right with God. Would you be brave enough to just raise your hand so I can see it? Is there anybody? You want to put your faith in Jesus right now. You've been living your life, building up a life that looks great on paper, but the reality is It's built on sand. Okay. Here's what I want to do. I'm gonna lead you in a prayer. These aren't magic words. They're just honest words. You just get right with God right now. All of us can wait for just a minute as you pray. As you pray, God, forgive me. I'm a sinner. And I'm in need of a Savior. I recognize I've been building my life on sand. And I want you to be my Lord and Savior. I put all my trust, all my hope in you. And I receive that free gift of salvation in Christ alone, who died on the cross to pay for my sins. And I believe he rose from the grave. And I want to live for him the rest of my days and for all of eternity. I put my hope in you, my foundation, my rock. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, church.